Thank you. Today we will look at the last study for the book of Matthew. So we are looking at Matthew chapter 28, the first, the 20 verses of the chapter. And it's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In our study today, we shall look at the testimony of the angel regarding Christ's resurrection. The study is also about Jesus' appearance to the woman, the false report of the guards, Jesus' appearance to the disciples in Galilee, and finally, the commission he gave to the disciples. The resurrection. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, and as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. The time given here is to show us that Jesus was in the grave for 3 days, as prophesied in the book of Hosea as follows. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days, will he revive us? In the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. You can see that everything about Jesus, about Christ, regarding his life here on earth, had been written by God in his book. As he is, so are we. Our lives here on earth have been written before the foundation of the earth by God. Psalm 139, verse 16, using the CEV version of the Bible, it says that, but with your own eyes you saw my body being formed. Even before I was born, you had written in your book everything I would do. Sometimes in our walk with Christ, we become confused and disillusioned as to what is happening to us. We wonder if we are going to make it to the first resurrection. Verse 1, which tells us about the time of Christ's resurrection, therefore gives us the confidence that what God has started with us, he is able to bring us to an expected end. And he will not let us see corruption. Philippians chapter 1, verses. Being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Psalm 16, verse 10 and 11. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At the right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Therefore, let us not throw away our confidence, which will bring us the great reward of ruling over the kingdoms of this world and the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 to 39. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you will receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Our problem is that we worry about many things. This is what Jesus told Martha when Jesus went to Bethany to raise Lazarus from death. Luke chapter 10, verse 41 and 42. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. The antidote to worry is that we turn our focus from the raging storm around us and focus on Christ. That is to believe in Him. John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. It is instructive to note that here in verse 1, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the sepulchre where Jesus was buried. These women represent the church of the Lord's elect. What this implies is that the role of the church is to support us as we go through the dying of our flesh or our old man. The fact that there were two women means the truth that the church must be supportive of us as we go through the dying of our flesh is an established fact. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 says, "This is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established." In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26, the Lord uses the metaphor of a body to illustrate that if one part suffers, every part suffers with it, emphasizing the church's shared experience and concern for each other as we die to the flesh. 1 Corinthians 12, 26. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, and all the members rejoice with it. Matthew chapter 20, 28, verse 2 to 4. And behold, there were and behold, there was a great earthquake, but the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Prior to these verses, the chief priests and the Pharisees, inspired by the devil, had conspired to keep Jesus in the grave by forcing Pilate to post soldiers at the tomb. This is all to show us that what the Lord has planned for us shall not be derailed by the forces of hell. Job 42, verse 2 says, "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted." Isaiah 14, 27 says, "For the Lord Almighty has purpose, and who can thwart him? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back?" Verses 2 to 4 relates to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. All that happened, the great earthquake, the angel descending from heaven, the rolling back the stone from the dead, from the door, the angel's countenance becoming like lightning and his raiment as white as snow, and the guards becoming like dead men, are all to show us the power of the Lord's resurrection. This is the same power the Lord avails to us when he visits us in our spiritually dead states to lift us up to become alive in him. Isaiah 29, verse 6. "Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and great noise, with storm and tempest and the flame of devouring fire." The power behind the raising of the Lord Jesus from death is what set us free from our prison of sin. That is why it is important to experience the power of his resurrection in our lives. Acts chapter 16, verse 26 says, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed." Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. It is worth noting that the angel's raiment was as white as snow. During the transfiguration, Jesus' raiment was as white as snow. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 and 2 says, and after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bring them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. On a positive note, the Bible shows us that although our sins be as scarlet, when Christ comes to us, our sins shall be as white as snow. In other words, when we are raised from death to sit with Christ in heavenly places, we shall put on Christ's righteousness. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. Because of the fear of the angel, the guards became like dead men. Dead men in the Bible signify all those who are not given eyes to see and ears to hear the mysteries of the kingdom of God. These guards therefore represent our brothers and sisters who see the physical resurrection of our Lord Jesus, but are not given to know the power of his resurrection in their lives. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 10 says, we grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men, just like the guards. Matthew chapter 28, verse 5 to 8. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you unto Galilee. There shall ye see him. Look, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. It is the church of the Lord's elect, symbolized by the woman, who were given to know about the Lord's resurrection. That is why when Jesus was resurrected, he did not show himself to the chief priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Rather, it was the church in Jesus' day that met the resurrected Jesus in Galilee. It is important to note that it was in Galilee that Jesus was to meet the disciples. Galilee in the Old Testament and in Jesus' time was referred to as Galilee of the Gentiles. In other words, although Galilee was a Jewish city, there were many Gentiles living there, hence the name Galilee of the Gentiles. Matthew chapter 4, verse 15. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. Jesus meeting the disciples in Galilee after his resurrection is therefore to show us spiritually that his death and resurrection was for the whole world and not for just the prerogative of the physical Jews. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 to 16 says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. In verse 8, the woman left the sepulchre with fear and great joy, as they ran to bring the good news of Christ's resurrection to his disciples. As we know, the woman represents the church of the Lord's elect, and it is the church which is to make known to the body the fellowship of the Lord's suffering and the power of his resurrection. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. The woman departing with fear and with great joy was because of the message they had received from the angel. The fear here is the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. It is the word of the Lord which brings joy and comfort to our soul as we are refreshed by what every joint supplies. Philemon chapter 1, verse 7. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. That is, through what every joint supplies. Matthew chapter 28, verse 9. And 10. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said unto them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. The woman taking hold of Jesus' feet when he appeared to them signified the church of the Lord's elect profound respect, humility, and worship as it acknowledges the Lord's divine authority. As the bride of Christ, we must submit to him in all things. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. One of the tools used by the devil against us is to cause us to be afraid or to fear the unknown. Today, the Lord is telling us not to be afraid of whatever circumstance in which we find ourselves. I think one of the first things that Jesus said when he was raised, that he says, do not be afraid. Today, the Lord is telling us not to be afraid of whatever circumstance in which we find ourselves. This is because the Lord is in control of everything, as all authority has been given to him after his resurrection. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and said unto them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The Lord's instruction to the church, represented by the woman, was that they should meet him in Galilee. At every point in time, the Lord has predestinated us to be at certain places. And it is in these places that we are, that when we seek him, we shall find him, although he is not far from us. Acts chapter 17, verse 26 and 27. And has made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of our habitations, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. The report of the guard. Matthew chapter 28, verse 11 to 15. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came unto the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, "Say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the government's ear, we will persuade him and secure you." So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. The chief priests here signify the leaders of the church system of this world. In the Bible, a city stands for a church, either positively or negatively. The elders represents the political leaders who are in league with the church system of this world. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 21 says, "How is the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness dwell lodged in it, but now murderers." Hebrews 12, verse 22. "But you have come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable company of angels." So he's talking about the first one, Isaiah 1, is talking about the negative application of city. And then the second one is the positive application. The guards who came to the city represents us when the Lord first came into our lives. We were very willing to share the resurrection power of the Lord in our lives with the leaders of the church system of our day. However, the church system offered us the false doctrine of prosperity, as signified by the money the chief priest gave to the guards. This is because the church system is in league with the government and are not interested in the truth, as we see the chief priest consulting with the elders or the kings of the earth. Revelation chapter 17, verse 18 says, "And the woman, as the church, which thou saw, is that great city, and reigns over the kings of the earth." That means has control over governments, as we see. In verse 13, the chief priest came up with falsehood by telling the guards to say that Jesus' body was stolen in the night by his disciples, which the guard accepted because of the money they had received. This is a clear example of the false doctrine spewed by the devil, which the church system of this world accepts. Revelation chapter 12, verse 15 and 16. "And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth." We can conclude from this incident that the church system of this world, or Babylon, does not love the truth. This is because the minds of our brothers and sisters in Babylon have been polluted with false doctrine propagated by the devil and his messengers. We were filled with false doctrine at a certain stage of our walk with Christ, which prevented us from knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12 to 15. "And what I am doing, I will continue to do in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission, they work on the same terms as we do. For such are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds." The second thing we can conclude from this story with the guards is that the church system of this world spews false doctrines, which clouds the minds of people who have begun their journey with Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Thirdly, Most of the preachers of Babylon are motivated by the love of money, which is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, 10. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hateful lusts, which drown men in destruction and in perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The call to teach all nations. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 to 18. Then the 11 disciples went away unto Galilee, unto a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when he saw them, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." As we have learned from previous studies, a mountain on a positive note represents the assembly of the Lord's elect, as shown in the following verses. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. It shall come to pass in the last day that the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, "Come ye, and let us go up into the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us all, he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Isaiah 56, verse 7. "Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offering and their sacrifice shall be accepted upon my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people." Therefore, the Lord wanting to meet the 11 disciples on the mountain in Galilee is another way of saying that where two or three people are gathered together in his name, he is there with them. This implies that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as he speaks to us through what every joint supplies. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 to 25 says, "But you have come into Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escape not who refuse him that spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven." It is instructive to note that among the 11 disciples who met Jesus in Galilee, some of them doubted. This implies that in our gathering, we are not of the same level of faith. However, we all have the same mind of Christ. We all have the same mind of seeking to know the Lord. Psalm 122, verse 9. "Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good." Jesus proclaiming that all power is given to him in heaven and in earth is not to make us see how powerful he is. It is to make us aware that he's making this power available to us, his elect, to bring us to an expected end as his brothers. Verse 18 is the same as what is spoken in John 3:35 as follows. John 3:35 says, "The Father loved the Son and has given him all things into his hand." All of these verses show us the Lord's intention and powerful ability to fulfill his purpose concerning his elect in this age and the rest of the world later. It entails working through our trials to bring about his ultimate plan of uniting all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. "According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertains unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that is that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church, Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Last verse is Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Here in verse 19, Jesus is admonishing us to go and teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To be able to understand verse 19, we need to know what the sum of the Lord's word says about discipling people of the nations. This is because many have used this verse, Bible verse, to spend their resources to go to the nations preaching to people who do not even have a clue as to who Jesus is. Psalm 119, verse 166, "The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever." Jesus' encounter with the Canaanite woman gives us a clue of what we are to do. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22 to 26. "And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.' But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged her, saying, 'Send her away, for she's crying out after us.' He answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' But she came and knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' And he said, 'It is not right to take a children's bread and throw it to the dog.'" As Jesus is, so are we. Our mission is to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The lost sheep of the house of Israel are God's people who have gone astray and are scattered in the nations of this world. We are to preach to our brothers and sisters in Babylon who are deceived when given the opportunity. If we look at Paul's ministry in the book of Acts, he was ministering mostly to the Jews scattered in the nations. Acts chapter 17, verse 1 and 2. "Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of a Jew, and Paul went in as was his custom. And on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures." Apostle Peter puts our responsibility to preach the gospel to the lordship of the house of Israel this way. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile you, your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame." According to verse 19, if our hearers respond to our message, we are to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Christ's words are spirit, and therefore this does not mean that we have to physically baptize them in water. According to Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, we are to baptize them in the Holy Spirit and with fire. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which says he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, or not many days hence. Luke chapter 3, verse 16 says, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I comes, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and with fire. Baptizing them with the Holy Ghost means helping them to worship the Lord in truth and in spirit. This entails opening their eyes to understand the word of the Lord in the spirit. Baptizing them with fire means making them to understand that it is through our suffering that we learn righteousness. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer shall live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Verse 20 makes it clear that our role is to disciple those whom the Lord makes available to us to talk to. We are not to teach them to become, we are to teach them to become obedient children of the Lord. In his words to the disciples, Jesus told them that he is with them always, even to the end of the world. This calls for us to fight the good fight of faith, knowing that we are not alone in this fight. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. Romans chapter 8, verse 27, verse 37 to 39. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God, glory be to God. Amen.
Amen.